my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you, they cried out and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me.
Psalm 22 is a difficult, difficult psalm, and so I've graciously volunteered my colleague to preach it for me today. My name is Andrew Forrest. I'm the pastor of this congregation. I'm not the preacher today, though. Our preacher is our youth minister, Scott Barnes. I had to travel for a wedding yesterday, and I knew I wasn't going to get home till late last night, and I also knew that, again, this is a hard psalm, so I'd rather have somebody else preach it for you. Scott's been with us almost a year. He came to us from Alabama, and we're blessed to have him leading our ministries to middle school and high school kids. I know that in the year that Scott's been here, it's been good for us to have him, but there's some difficulties he's faced in his personal life, and so we're glad that you're here, and we celebrate almost a year of you with us as a Mungarian. And I just like to always say whenever, yeah, let's give him a round of applause. And I like to always say whenever we have a guest is I hope that you will pay the guest even a portion of the kindness as you pay me. You're way too kind for me. As a preacher, I can tell when people are paying attention or rooting for me or praying for me. And so it makes it much easier when the congregation is like that. It just pours out of you like water if that's the case. So be present, be here. This is an important verse, an important psalm, an important lesson today. And with that in mind, Scott, I'd like to pray for you as we begin. Can I do that? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I thank you for our friend, our brother Scott. I pray that you make him mighty in the land, that you bless the works of his hands and prosper him in ministry and use him to bring middle school and high school kids closer to you. And Lord, I pray now that you take his words and you speak through them, that you take our thoughts and think through them. Lord, give us insight. And then, God, I pray that you take our hearts and fill us with a holy confidence and trust in you. This is our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people said, amen.
Yep, 1 year, haven't been fired yet, so that's good. That's good, we made it. So if you have your Bible, if you turn with me to Psalm 22, in your one-year Bible, I actually want you to go to page 772. That's the July 28th reading. Now, we've already been through Psalm 22 one time, but how our one-year Bibles work is we're going to read through all the Psalms twice. And so page 772, the July 28th reading, is the next one coming up. So you kind of have something to look forward to. And if you have just sort of your normal standard Bible, you just do the trick where you just put your thumb right in the middle and open up, and you'll either be in Psalms or Proverbs. And so if you're in Proverbs, just go a little bit to the left and find Psalm 22. Now, like Andrew said, this is a difficult psalm. And throughout this series, as we've been looking at the Psalms, we've purposely picked difficult ones. We picked the ones that you might otherwise skip over. Because I like you, when I was growing up, and even sometimes today, when I'm open the Bible to read something, I want to read the good stuff. I want to read the things that are fun. I want to read Philippians 4:13 or John 3:16 or even Psalm 23 right next door. I want to read the stuff that's like uplifting and, yeah, life is good. Sometimes I like to read the Psalms that talk about destroying my enemies. I mean, I'm just personally, that's nice sometimes. But the reason why we pick these Psalms, these difficult ones, just like Psalm 22, it's because just like Psalm 23 is it's scripture in the Word of God, so is Psalm 22, and it's equally as important for us. Sometimes it's easy to just read through the Bible, especially as we're going through it in a year, and just kind of skip over the things that are difficult. But it's so important for us to, the ones that are difficult, almost to put more focus on and try to understand what God's trying to teach us through that passage. And so that's what we're going to do here today. So Psalm 22, what we're going to do is we're going to really just kind of slowly, really just take the first few verses. The first few verses, kind of walk through them together. So Psalm 22, starting in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? What a haunting way to open a psalm. And if you've read the Bible, or and maybe that kind of sounded familiar, it's like, oh, I think I've heard that before. In Matthew 27 and in Mark 15, this is the psalm that Jesus quotes from the cross. At the time of his greatest pain, when he's about to basically die, he looks over and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He quotes this psalm. And as you watch the video, you heard all these different kind of messianic prophecies of things that are clearly about Jesus. But what I want to do today is I want to just focus on the psalm kind of as it is here in the Old Testament. Because while it is a psalm that clearly points towards Jesus, it's also a psalm about a man named David who's going through a really, really spiritually difficult time in his life. And I really want to focus on that. To say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Saying, my God, two times, to add an incredible amount of emphasis to this plea, this painful plea that David is calling out. Why have you forsaken me? What an incredibly intense verb to use. Forsaken, meaning basically David's like, God, why have you turned your back on me and abandoned me in my time of need? Why have you basically left me out in the woods with no direction as to which way to go? That's what this word forsaken means. Why have you left me? And I don't know about you, but if I think about the sort of the scale of maybe pleas for God, maybe on one side, you know, a lot of youth, every time I ask for prayer requests, the big one is, oh, I hope God's with me as I take this test today. That's on one level. And on the complete other end of the spectrum of pain and suffering and really struggling with something spiritually and crying out to God is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is not just a physical, but a spiritual trial in David's life to get to this point where he's crying out to God and wondering where he is. And then it goes on, it says, why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, and I don't know about you, when I think about the word groaning, I think of what I do when my alarm goes off at 6 in the morning. Like, oh, another day. Yay, thank God. I have to wake up at 6. But the Hebrew word, the Hebrew word for groaning here is actually the same word that's used other places in the Old Testament to mean like the roaring of a lion. So this is like a deep, basically shouting, roaring out to God. But the reason why this is difficult is because of what it says next. It says, oh my God, starting in verse 2, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. It's not like David's not being faithful. David's found himself in a difficult time. There are people surrounding him who want to kill him. And he's being faithful. He's crying out to God. Crying out, praying all day long and at night, basically not being able to sleep, not just finding spiritual rest in the Lord, but also physical rest. Crying out to the Lord to hear his plea, Lord, save me. It's one thing to feel like you've been abandoned by a person. It's one thing to feel like someone that you love has abandoned you, but it's another thing completely to feel like God himself has abandoned you. And that's what David seems to be feeling. And the reason why I feel like this psalm is important, because I know that there are people in this room that maybe you felt this before. Maybe you're feeling it right now. You feel like your prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling in this room. You're in a difficult situation. Maybe it's based on job. Maybe it's based on a difficult family trial you're going to. Maybe it's based on a tragedy that you've experienced in your life. And you're crying out to God, and you don't feel like your prayers are going anywhere. It's painful. You know what Andrew said about my moving out here being difficult? It has been. Anytime you leave kind of everything behind and come out here and try to start a new life, there are trials and tribulations that come along with that make it difficult. And, you know, this past fall, and I don't mind telling you this, that I've been going to see a counselor. And I tell you that because I want you to know that even though that your staff here, even though we kind of took our Christianity and went pro with it, that we are just as much humans as you, and we go through things. And like what Andrew talked about last week and kind of the family situation they've been dealing with Elaine and being at the hospital and really kind of having some spiritual battles going on. And if you weren't here to watch that sermon, I encourage you to go back online and watch it. Is that we all go through these times in life. And for me, one day I was with my counselor. He said, I want you to start keeping a journal. I was like, oh, great. And he said, I want you to keep a journal. I want you to write down sort of all the different things that you feel or make it kind of like prayers that you maybe wouldn't pray to God. And I'm like, well, this is a dangerous game we're playing now. But so being a guy, I decided, well, I'm not going to write it down in a journal. I'm going to take my computer out and type it out and make it like a blog post, because that's what we do as guys. We like to blog things. That makes it cool. And so I started typing out all these things. I started keeping this journal. And I'm going to be honest with you that I went back recently and kind of read some of the things that I wrote from the fall, and it terrified me. Literally reading these and almost like choking back tears, because it was so bad that I didn't even recognize the person that had been writing these things. I was so far deep into the sticks. And a couple of the things that I wrote, one in particular, I would write things like, you know, everybody keeps telling me that God has me out here for a reason, but what if that reason is just to pretty much let me die or to watch me fail so I can go back home and be an insurance agent like Dad? But then one of the things that I wrote towards the end of one that I'm still not sure where it came from, obviously a Holy Spirit type thing, is I was typing this out and I said, I feel... Because this is what it feels like. I feel like the disciples. And in Matthew 8, there's this great imagery of Jesus calming the storm. I feel like the disciples in the boat in Matthew 8. And Jesus is asleep at the front of the boat. And the storm is coming. And I'm like one of the disciples screaming at Jesus to wake up. That's what it feels like. Sometimes in our lives, when we're going through something difficult and we're crying out to God, it feels like that we are sitting on this boat. We're sitting on this boat and the storms are raging, the waves are crashing over. It's pouring down rain and we feel like we're going to die, and we're screaming at Jesus, hey, wake up and do something. Don't you see what's going on? And it's a helpless feeling. And so what do we do with that? What is the answer from God when we are dealing with this extreme amount of pain and suffering where we really think that there maybe is no hope? The reason why I love Psalm 22 is because I think David really kind of gives us an answer, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's not the easiest answer in the world, but I believe it's 100% true. If you look back in your Bibles at verse 3, right after David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm crying to you day and night, and you're not listening. This is what he says. Verse 3, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. So what did David just do here? In the midst of his crying out in pain and wondering where God is, in verse 3, he remembers God's promises. He remembers God's faithfulness. He remembers what God has done for his people in the past and including himself in the past. All the different times where there's no other explanation except that God showed up. In his time of greatest need, he remembered God's holiness and faithfulness. And sometimes that's the answer. As difficult as it is, as much as I would like to sit here and say, I'm going to give you, after this sermon, I'm going to snap my fingers, you're going to go out, and all of a sudden everything's going to get better. But life is hard. But it's important in those moments where you feel like life is difficult, when you feel like you can't go on any further, when you feel like God isn't listening, maybe the message from God for you today is to keep moving forward in faith. To keep walking forward in faith, just like David is doing here. Why have you forsaken me? Yet you are holy. You delivered my ancestors from all these different things. So therefore, I believe that in spite of my pain and suffering, I believe that you're going to rescue me from this. I have faith in you that you'll do that. There's a man who's a missionary in Turkey. He's been a missionary there for 20 years. His name is Andrew Brunson. And he's actually a missionary that's supported by my parents' small church in Birmingham. He's been a missionary in Turkey for 20 years. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news, but sometime back there was kind of this rebel coup, if you will, that tried to overthrow the Turkish government. And it failed. And so the government of Turkey is now kind of searching out to try to find these people that did this, right? Because that's what happens. And so Andrew and his wife were going to get their visa renewed, and he was placed under arrest. He was placed under arrest, and they accused him, this missionary, of being involved in this. And I say accused because he's been in prison for 6 months, and they hadn't brought charges against him because there is no evidence. And he's just sitting in this jail cell, not sure when his lawyer's going to come by, not sure if he's ever going to be delivered from it. Rarely gets to see his wife, never gets to see his children. He's surrounded by Muslim men who literally spend day and night trying to convert him to Islam, trying to make him question his faith, trying to make him question the God that he believes in. And this is what he said. His wife sent an email, and this is what he said. Even if you leave me, I will follow you. Even if I feel deceived, I will follow you. Even if you don't help me, I will follow. Even if I do not see the signs of your goodness, love, care, and compassion, I will follow. Even if you don't answer when I call but remain silent, I will follow you. That is my intention. A man sitting in a jail cell for a crime that he did not commit, not sure if he's ever going to get out. Believing in God and trusting in his promises even when he's not seeing any answer. Sometimes that's hard, but it's the truth. I recently was, this was in January actually, and this is slightly embarrassing, but whatever. You know, VBS songs have a way of infecting your brain to where they stay with you forever, generations even. And there was one VBS song from this past year that really kind of stuck with me. And as I was walking around my apartment, for whatever reason, I started singing, and okay, whatever. And it goes, my hope is in the Lord, I belong to him, and he will never let me go. Okay, goes like that. Thank you. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm walking around and I'm singing this song over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden, I just start crying, all right? I just start crying. So I've sang a VBS song, now I'm crying, all right? This is going well for me. And I'm crying. And the reason why I was crying is this, because every word that I had just sang over and over and over again was true. That our hope is in the Lord and that we do belong to Him. And more than that, that no matter what, He will never, ever, ever let us go. Ever. When we sing these songs about the Lord holding on and keeping His promises and us holding Him to His promise, we can do that because He does. Even in those times in life where we don't feel like we can go on any further, the word of the Lord tells us to not give up and to trust in Him. So if I have any encouragement for you, if some of you that are maybe going through a difficult time like this, or maybe when you do, is to not give up. To not give up on yourself, and especially don't give up on the Lord. Because the Lord promises us that He will always be there and sustain us. David believes it in Psalm 22. Even though I don't see you, even though I'm praying day and night and you're not listening, I trust because of what you've done for me in the past. And because you've sustained me and my people in the past, I will trust that you'll sustain me in the present and sustain me in the future. That you will be there for me, that you will love me. Because the promises of God for His people are incredible. In Romans chapter 8 is like my favorite passage of scripture. I read it and I just get fired up, like I want to go, you know, play a football game or something directly after. But at the end of it, it says this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. There's nothing on this earth, both physical and spiritual, that will ever take you away from the love of Christ. There's nothing. You're there. And that our God is the good shepherd, like Luke 15 tells us. And that He leaves the other 99 to come after that one sheep. And that He's faithful to the end. And all He asks of us is to keep moving forward in faith. Don't give up. Don't lose hope, because I'm with you always till the end of days. The Lord is with us. Don't give up. Know that He's there. And know that no matter how thick the forest may feel or how deep the hole may be, that the Lord is faithful and He'll keep His promises and He will pull you out of whatever hole that is. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love You. Heavenly Father, sometimes in life we go through things that we don't understand. Sometimes we go through difficult times in life, trials and tribulations, times where we feel like our prayers are not being heard. But Lord, we believe that You are faithful. We believe that because of what You've done in the past, that You will keep doing those things in the present and the future. We believe that we are like the Israelites standing at the foot of the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army is bearing down on us, Lord. But You looked at Moses and say, "Why are You calling out to me? Move forward." Just like You didn't bring the Israelites to the foot of the Red Sea to kill them. You haven't brought us through all these different things in our life just to leave us here to die. You are faithful to the end. And Lord, I pray for people in this room. I know that there are difficult situations represented across this place, that You would give them strength for the fight ahead. That You would give them strength and knowledge of knowing that You will always be faithful to them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.